today as we come to the table.
It doesn't matter how many good deeds we do, even if we do more good deeds than we've done bad, which, by the way, I think if really every bad deed was written down, you'd never catch up. I'm just going to be honest. Anyway, I can more good deeds than bad. I can just, if I keep up in one day, I'm kind of like trying to catch up. You know, I've got to stay up late tonight and like take somebody a pie or something. You know, you can't do it. How sad when people believe that's going to be their standard to get to heaven. You can't do it. It was done on the cross through Jesus and his blood that he died, rose again on the third day. And for all who believe in him, your sins are forgiven and you get into heaven. You can't pay enough.
Thinking back to all the bad things we've done can be overwhelming. It's impossible for us to even recall everything, let alone pick out what was good enough to outweigh the bad. It's simply not possible in the sinful world we live in. No amount of good deeds we do can cancel out the bad in our wake. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will share this seemingly devastating fact while highlighting that, yes, our good deeds mean nothing, but the actions of Jesus on the cross mean everything. We are now washed clean, and the price of our record has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 18, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, guys, let's open them up to Judges chapter 18. Even as Discipleship Ministries goes line by line, verse by verse, and trains up their pastors, we go line by line and verse by verse, and we train up you guys so that you can be equipped for the ministry as well. So today we take up in Judges chapter 18, looking at verses 14 to the end of the chapter, and let's pray and ask for God to really speak to us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in working through the book of Judges. How you have spoken to us, God, about so many things through this study and really looking at our own lives and our own society. And God, now we look at what's going on here in the life of Micah and his false idols and his false priest and his desire, Lord, to be religious and to reach you by religion and to make you happy through religion. And for those of us that know you, we know that's a dead-end street, Lord. There is no religion that can please you. It's simply a relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing you on a personal level. And as we look today, Lord, this continued story of Micah and finishing this story here, God, and seeing his sincerity in his deception, help us to realize today, God, that sincerity does not truth make. Sincerity is simply that, sincerity. But we can be sincerely wrong. And a lot of people are sincerely wrong today. And that's why we need you, Lord, and we need your word to show us the truth. So, Lord, pour out your spirit and speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So as we look at today, we're getting into the deception of sincerity. Now, this is a huge issue because a lot of times people think because they're sincere, they're right with God. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, they're so sincere? You know, or they sincerely believe it. So how can you as a Christian say they're wrong if they sincerely believe it? Because a lot of people sincerely believe a lot of things that are sincerely wrong. And when you believe something, no matter how sincere when it comes to religion, the bottom line is that you're going to be, again, finding yourself shocked on Judgment Day. Because God doesn't care how sincere you are in what you believe. He cares about how sincerely correct you are in what you believe. And that only comes from the Word of God. You've got to know God's Word, and you've got to be sincere in God's Word to make sure you're right. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today is sincerity. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people are sincere in what they believe. Mormons are very sincere. They believe they're going to be a God one day. That's what their religion teaches. And yet Jesus said this. He said, there's only one God. Only one God. And God brags that he alone is God. Yes, there's a Trinity, but there's only one God. They're not going to be a God one day, but they sincerely believe it. And they believe it so much, they travel from house to house, knocking on your door to convince you of it as well. Listen, how many of us have that level of fervor for our faith? And yet they have it because they sincerely believe it, but they're sincerely deceived. Again, I think about those involved in Islam. Whenever there's attack based on Islam and honoring Allah, they believe that with all their heart. Understand, this is not just to go out and be mean. They believe with all their heart that their God, Allah, has told them to kill the infidel in certain circumstances, and they believe that if they die in doing it, they're going to get more reward in heaven. Now, are they right? They're terribly wrong. Do they believe it in sincerity? Absolutely, because you would have to be sincere about your faith to go and murder groups of people thinking you're making God happy. But remember, the Bible told us this. The Lord himself said, there'll be those in the last days who believe they're doing God a service by killing people in his name. And so again, different name and different God when it comes to Islam. But the bottom line is, people believe truly sometimes they're serving God by taking the life of others. We'll see that today, even in this passage. But sincerity can be a very, very deceiving thing. I had lunch with a man last week. He's a man who was from Lebanon and a Christian. I think he had converted from Islam and moved to America. He'd married an American woman and lives here now in America. And he said one of his first visits, I guess, to an American grocery store, he was walking through the aisles and he saw this huge basket of oranges and it said $1.99. And so he's like, wow, that is a great price for, you know. So he picks up the whole basket. And he heads up front with this huge basket. He's going up front with all the oranges. And his wife sees him and goes, what are you doing? You know, kind of this kind of thing from a distance. He goes, this is a great deal. $1.99 for this many oranges. We have to get this. You know, and everybody's looking at him. And I was like, no, honey, put the oranges down. It's $1.99 a piece. And he said he was shocked to the realities of the prices in America, number one. But also, things are not always as they seem. He was very sincere and cutely so, might I say. But it doesn't matter how cute it is or how sweet the sincerity is. Guys, if the sincerity is not Jesus Christ and the only way to the Father, it is wrong and will one day be judged and eternally separated from God. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me. That word no one means, guess what? No one. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. You can't get through Muhammad. You can't get there through any other God. You can't get there through Krishna or what the Mormons believe. You're not going to be your own God. It's only as God laid it out in his word. And no matter how sincere all these groups are, even if they're willing to kill others or die themselves for their faith, it doesn't make it right. And how tragic to see someone willing to give their life for their God only to find out they're going to be eternally separated from God. It's truly tragic. But my heart also breaks, and don't take this wrong, my heart breaks for those who think they're really serving God in doing that. Because probably many of those that get killed by terrorists, they're going straight to be with the Lord. And although it's tragic they died, if somebody came in here and shot me today, don't cry for me. You might be, I'd hate that trauma to be there on you, but the bottom line is, it'd be kind of traumatic, right? Mark said he wouldn't care, but And I'm not asking it to happen, don't get me wrong. And I'm a death wish. But I'm not afraid. And I'm excited about being with the Lord. And if it happens today, I'm ready. That's a great feeling. It feels good to have that peace. It feels good to know that. But for those who are carrying these acts out, they don't know Christ. And I'm not saying they're not guilty. They're guilty. And God will hold them accountable. Some of them know exactly what they're doing and they're evil. But I think many of them are deceived. They've been raised in it. They believe this is what their God requires. Their God requires them to deal with the infidel. Listen, we need to have a heart for both and be praying for both. God's mercy on those that are deceived and also God's mercy on those that fall into the consequence of that. But we need to all make sure we're ready and we're ready to go today because we have hope. This doesn't end right here for us. This is just getting started. And so false sincerity is devastating. Now, where we last left off, if you guys remember last week, the spies of Dan had just arrived for the second time at the house of Micah on their journey to conquer the city of Laish. and get their inheritance, to try to get some more inheritance land up in the northern part of Israel, which they renamed into Dan. Remember, Micah had made these gods, and he brought this ephod that the priests wore. He even got his own priest. I mean, he created his own religion. And again, isn't that what mankind often does, creates their own religion? He had created his own way. Well, I believe God's this way, so here's what I'm going to do. You know, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it says that God made man in his image. And yet, how often do we see people today trying to make God into their image? Well, I don't believe Jesus would say that. I don't think God would do that. I don't think God would allow that. I think. Again, we create God in our image rather than going to the Word to find out who He is and what He believes. It's not about what we think. It's about what God knows and what God does through that. And so this is where we're going to see Micah today. It's going to be sad because somebody's going to steal his God. Listen, if your God can be stolen, we've said it before, you've got the wrong God. You need a God that can't be stolen. And you need a God that can't let anyone steal you from Him. This both happen here. Micah's God is stolen and his priest is taken away from him. We have a God that said, you know what? You're mine forever and I'm yours forever. And nothing can interfere with that. And that gives us joy. Micah, again, lost in this deception here now, is going to see the consequences of putting faith in a false belief system. Look at verse 14. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, and these were the first five that came the first time. Now they're going to bring back an army with them when they come again. But these are those five that visited them and we saw last week. And they tell the group of men, do you know? Well, actually, they get to Micah's house and they tell them, do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image. Now, therefore, consider what you should do. In other words, hey, there's some gods we can steal here. And there's an ephod for a priest. So, I mean, listen, if it goes well today, we can even steal a priest, right? This could be a big score day for us. And how sad this is of the mindset of the people of that day, thinking they can not only create their own religion and their own way to God, but they can create their own priest and have him serve them in the midst of that. And yet, don't we have that today as well? We talked about it. People, you know, doing their own thing. They're saying, hey, we can get our own priest, our own ephod, our religious shrine. We can take it with us to our new city, and we can establish our new religion and our new city with all these things we stole after we kill all these people. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Now, I say that tongue in cheek on purpose because they're so religious about what they believe, but they're completely blind to righteousness. They're completely blind to the requirements of God, so much so that they're willing to kill people and they're willing to steal things and they still think God is going to bless them. Listen, I've seen this. I've seen groups of people that are very, very religious. They would not miss a Sunday, but during the week, they're going to sin their guts out. They're going to live for the world, live like the world, live like the devil. But as long as they show up on Sunday, things are great. Praise the Lord, you know, and they're ready to go. That's false religion. That's not a relationship. And it's sad when you see people in this way. You probably saw that Muhammad Ali died and somebody was quoting some statement he made. He said, I believe that when I stand before God, he's going to weigh my good deeds against my bad deeds. And if I've done more good, then God's going to let me in. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't matter how many good deeds we do, even if we do more good deeds than we've done bad, which, by the way, I think if really every bad deed was written down, you'd never catch up. I'm just going to be honest. Anyway, I can more good deeds than bad. If I keep up in one day, I'm kind of like trying to catch up. You know, I've got to stay up late tonight and like take somebody a pie or something. You know, you can't do it. How sad when people believe that's going to be their standard to get to heaven. You can't do it. It was done on the cross. Through Jesus and his blood, that he died, rose again the third day, and for all who believe in him, your sins are forgiven and you'll get into heaven. You can't pay enough. You don't have enough money. You can't do enough. There's not enough time and energy. You can't do it. It's by the cross and through Jesus. And yet how many people try to do that? Sad here that Micah is trying to do this, and how ironic that they think they can rob and steal and kill people, literally, and then go establish their religion. And because they're sincere, they sincerely believe it. Mark, how can you say that Islam is wrong? I know there's certain ones that kill people, and I know certain things. How can you say it's wrong? They sincerely believe it. And what makes it better than America's religion or whatever they want to say? It's not about America's religion, God forbid. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And by the way, those who try to say it's Americans' religion started in the Middle East. It has nothing to do with America. We got blessed that it came over here, and we thank God for that. And we're beneficiaries of that. But it didn't start here. It started there. And so, again, sincerity does not truth make. It is the truth in the Word of God that is what matters. And nothing else matters at all, no matter how much we believe it. Truth is still truth. Falsehood is still falsehood, regardless of how strongly someone believes it. But that's where they are. And look at verse 15. So they turned aside there, this is to Micah's house, and they came to the house of the young Levite, to the house of Micah, and they greeted him. And so this Levite comes out to meet them. They remembered him from last time, this priest or whatever. He goes to the gate to meet them. He's standing there with this huge contingent of 600 men on horseback while the other five are going to sneak around him to go rob the house. So again, a very, very religious group of guys. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war who were of the children of Dan stood by the entrance of the gate. And then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up, entering there, and they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, the molded image, and the priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. So he just kind of hanging out with the talking, how you doing? Good to meet you guys. Met the other five. Nice guys. Liked them a lot. Good guys, you know. I don't know why I do that. Forgive me. I don't know why I start that. Get out of that. Nice guys. But while he's doing, these nice guys has his back turned. These nice guys are robbing him blind. They're getting all of his stuff. And so he's thinking, oh, this is great. Great group of guys. Grab your back, whatever. But they're robbing him while he's meeting with the other guys at the gate. And notice verse 18, when these went into Micah's house, they took the carved image and the ephod and the household idols and the molded image. And the priest said to them, what are you doing? You know, I kind of imagine the priest at the front door and Micah's gone. And he's kind of, that was kind of his office, was the house, because he was Micah's own priest. And so he worked out of his home. And so Micah's gone and the priest is there greeting these people. And all of a sudden these five guys that he knows, they come walking out with everything they've got out of Micah's house, or all these gods and all that kind of stuff, not robbing him completely blind, but of all this. And Micah says, what are you doing? I'm not Micah the Levite. He says, what are you doing? Why are you doing all this? He doesn't know what's going on. He's shocked by this. And they said to him, be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel? Salary raise. That's what he's doing. Hey, you want to work for one guy? I'll give you a set of clothes once a year and a few pieces of silver. Come with us. We're an entire tribe. We'll give you lots of clothes and lots of money. Just be a priest for us. We're taking your gods and your ephod anyway. What do you have to lose, right? You got to start over. So, wow, that's a good point. I like this. So this could be really good in revealing this priest's heart. So the priest's heart was glad. Again, it shows you he was a hireling. He had nothing to do with God. This priest was an unsaved pastor. By the way, did you know in pulpits there are unsaved pastors? Sometimes as Christians, that shocks people. How could you be unsaved and be in the pulpit? Because there's a lot of people who want to do good deeds. And they go to the good deed factory called a seminary or Bible college. And when they get their piece of paper at the other end of the good deed factory, there's really only one place to go, a pulpit. So you get in the pulpit and you talk about good deeds. Today's message is on how to be nice and flowers are of God. And they talk a little sermonette for 15 minutes about how you need to be like a flower and open up, you know, to receive God's light. And you too can shine and make other people smile. So go out today, open up and make people smile. Now, I say that in jest and we laugh, but guys, that's reality. And I didn't realize that till I got a little bit older and I realized what we're doing is we're giving an opportunity. Listen, being a pastor is not something you decide you want to do. It's a call of God. And that's why it's so important that you, wherever you go, including judging me in a right way, you need to see the fruit of salvation in me. You need to see a man who knows God and isn't just standing behind a pulpit. Because if you just believe everyone standing behind a pulpit, you're going to run across some people that are false from time to time. You need to be prepared. It tells us in 1 John, what does it say? Test the spirits to see whether they be of the Lord. I've been heard people share it before and I've gone, what? Where'd that come from? And I listen a little bit longer and think, you don't know the same God that I do. And that's certainly not in the Bible. If we don't have that kind of discernment, I think sometimes we're so afraid to judge, and I'll put that in quotes. Listen, We're not supposed to wrongfully judge. I understand that. You don't judge people. Here's wrongful judgment. Mark, what is wrongful judgment? When the Lord said, don't judge lest you be judged. What he's talking about is judging based on your standard. I believe a true Christian should fill in the blank. The Bible didn't say that, but I believe it. And I think if you do this, that's wrong. But if you're simply inspecting fruit, Jesus said you will know them by their what? Their fruit. You should be able to look at a tree and tell what kind of fruit is on it. And if it's not got godly fruit, it's not a godly tree. That doesn't mean the perfect Christian. We're not going down that road. You watch my fruit long enough, you'll see that in some cases I'm a fruit loop. But there should be some evidence. There should be some evidence. You know what? He not only knows the Lord, he's called to be a pastor. And if there's not that evidence, he shouldn't be here. That's just the reality of it. And so this guy was a false pastor. Notice he's glad, and he took his ephod, the household idols, the carved image, and he took his place among the people. You know what? He needed to be among the people because the people were false as well. And so this false pastor goes right in with the false people, and now they're fitting in perfectly because, again, that's where they're supposed to be, because that's not where they're supposed to be, but that's where they end up because they're, you know, birds of a feather, so to speak. But guys, guard yourself. You don't want to be involved in something that's not of the Lord, because if you're involved in something that's not of the Lord, you know, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to go to the Mormon church. I know that's probably radical and nobody would do that. But you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying you couldn't visit one to share the gospel or have a chance to reach someone. That's not my point. I'm not getting legalistic on that. But at the same time, the Bible says this in Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, if they're living in sin, don't partake with them. Don't go along with it. You know, just because you think that it's whatever the case might be. I saw some pastor that came out. Again, I don't know what kind of church it was. Some pastor, just I was reading this last week, came out in support of the Muslims and the mosque. And he's trying to help them build a mosque. And he wants to stand with, listen, we need to be kind to everyone and love everyone. Is everybody with me? You need to love the Muslim. You know, just because we're living in the South. And I know the South can be pretty firm about what we believe. You know, I mean, we need to love the Muslim. We need to love the Jehovah's Witness. We need to love the Mormon. We need to love everyone. The reason I say that about the South, because we're very religious in the South. And, you know, we're so afraid of jihad that I think sometimes we're thinking, you know, we're guilty of jihad, you know. We need to make sure that our heart is open. Listen, don't be afraid of anyone in any faith they're in, although it's wrong. Don't be afraid of it. You need to be open to say, you know what? I'm going to love that guy. I'm going to reach that guy. Somebody shared with me this morning. They said there's a group of Mormons that travel around now. They've converted to Christianity. And the reason they gave their life to the Lord is they met a pastor at a door who loved them. I've been mean to Mormons at the door. You ever done that? I've been mean. Shocked my daughter that I was mean to a Muslim. It's true, honey. I was. We're going to talk for a moment. You guys just do whatever. What happened was I was. What I mean by that is I've had him come to the door and you know, you're about to do something and I don't have time for this.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and His plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.